School children know Washington Irving's 1820 tale of Ichabod Crane, the lanky school teacher in leafy post-revolution New York who's tormented by the headless horseman who whips out a machine gun. Wait a minute.
My name is Ichabod Crane. I was enlisted under the command of General Washington.
General George Washington.
Do you know him?
It was 250 years ago. Welcome to the 21st century, Mr. Crane.
That's a clip from the new Fox TV hit Sleepy Hollow, which sees Ichabod Crane waking up in modern-day Sleepy Hollow, kind of a mashup with Washington Irving's other classic, Rip Van Winkle. The show has been a bit of a boom to the real Hudson River, New York town, tourists gathering around Washington Irving's grave, snapping up I Left My Head in Sleepy Hollow t-shirts. But how close is the show to the real story? With us from the Argo Studios in New York is Brian J. Jones. He's author of Washington Irving, an American original. And Brian, first, was the headless horseman in Washington Irving's story one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, as he is in the show?
No, he was not. And in fact, when you get through Irving's original story, he sort of gives you three endings to choose from. You can decide whether it was all a practical joke or whether it was actually sort of a Hammer horror film or whether it was something else.
Yeah, well, we know what it is in the Fox show. It is definitely, it's sort of a zombie apocalypse film. It really takes off. But let's go back to the original story. Remind us of the plot, and how did Washington Irving come up with it?
Irving's story is really more about mood and setting than it is plot. Most of the story is set up. Irving introduces his characters. He's got sort of a love triangle with Ichabod Crane and Brom Bones, who's sort of a captain of the football team character, and Katrina Van Tassel. And most of the book is Ichabod Crane preparing to go to a party where Katrina is going to be and to woo her. And he hears ghost stories that night, and we've been told by Irving throughout most of the tale that Ichabod Crane is actually a little bit of a nervous Nelly. So as he leaves that night from the party, he is suddenly chased by the headless horseman.
Right.
And the last sort of third of the story is that chase, and it's over actually very quickly. And he does get a pumpkin thrown at him. He seems to think it is the horseman's head. And the next morning, nobody can find Ichabod Crane. There's a pumpkin broken nearby. His horse is kind of nearby, and there's no sign of him at all.
Oh, it's such a good story. It's such a great story around this time of year, too, because just tell us a little more. You were talking about the moodiness of it. For those of us who love sort of downstate New York along the Hudson River, bring that character in. I mean, as he's riding along, the leaves are falling, and it's dark and scary.
Yeah, and this is sort of the first, you know, modern American horror story as well. There was really, you know, this is before Edgar Allan Poe or anybody like that. This is Irving sort of placing his story at Halloween without really saying so. Mm. I'm going to read just a little bit of it. This is as Ichabod Crane leaves the dinner party, and before the horseman starts chasing him, here's the way Irving described him setting out. He says, "The hour was as dismal as himself. Far below him, the Tappan Zee spread its dusky and indistinct waste of waters, with here and there the tall mast of a sloop riding quietly at anchor under the land. In the dead hush of midnight, he could even hear the barking of the watchdog from the opposite shore of the Hudson, but it was so vague and faint as only to give an idea of his distance from this faithful companion of man. No signs of life occurred near him, but occasionally the melancholy chirp of a cricket, or perhaps the guttural twang of a bullfrog from a neighboring marsh, as if sleeping uncomfortably and turning suddenly in his bed."
Mm. So the landscape is part of this. And again, Ichabod Crane, as you say, kind of a nervous Nelly with hands like shovels, lanky. But here we have the new TV show. And
right.
In it, he's sort of a swashbuckling history professor. Here he's being interrogated by police officers. Of course, here's this guy who's come into modern-day New York claiming to be, you know, a friend of George Washington's. Let's listen.
"Yes, I became a spy under the command of General Washington."
"General George Washington.
Do you know him?
Tell me about the horseman.
Would you admit to cutting off his head, yes or no?"
"No. First I shot him."
"But he rose back up."
"Beheading him seemed the next logical step."
Okay, Brian J. Jones, again, the author of a biography of Washington Irving. So here we have an Ichabod Crane who's British. It could be because they want this terrific British actor, Tom Mission,
right,
to play him. But that's not at all Washington Irving's Ichabod Crane.
No. You know, Ichabod Crane and Irving's tale is actually made for the Disney cartoon. So this is Ichabod leaving the party before the horseman chases him. And here's the way Irving describes him. "Ichabod was a suitable figure for such a steed." He's riding on gunpowder, which is sort of a broken down horse. "He rode with short stirrups, which brought his knees nearly up to the pommel of the saddle. His sharp elbows stuck out like grasshoppers. He carried his whip perpendicularly in his hand, like a scepter, and as his horse jogged on, the motion of his arms was not unlike the flapping of a pair of wings.
So he's kind of an everyman, a tall, thin, scared one.
Yeah, he's a nervous wreck.
And here in the TV show, he's this heroic character. But also, there's scenes where he's mesmerized by a button in a car that makes the lock go up and down. And here's another where he's talking about taxes. And we remember the time that, you know, he was post-revolution. So here he is responding to modern-day taxes. Let's listen.
What's insane is a 10% levy on baked goods. You do realize the Revolutionary War began on less than 2%. How is the public not flocking to the streets in outrage? We must do something.
So, Brian J. Jones, they take a lot of liberty with Washington Irving, but there is some sense of history there.
Yeah. You know, what I keep actually wondering on this is if we're living in some alternative universe where actually the story doesn't exist, because he says to an awful lot of people, "Hello, Ichabod Crane," and nobody goes, "Really? Ichabod Crane?" You know, it's like,
or I love that story.
As James Bond, you go, "Really, James Bond?" So I keep wondering if, you know, if we're in an alternate universe here, or if we're going to find out that Irving himself is actually part of this, you know, underground, you know, plot to save the world.
Well, and we said it's been sort of a bit of a boom to the real Sleepy Hollow, which, by the way, was called North Tarrytown until 1996, and then they changed their name. Beautiful, beautiful town. People are apparently gathering around the Headless Horseman Bridge, this small bridge that they galloped over, and tucking their heads into their zipped-up jackets to imitate the Headless Horseman. This is the Wall Street Journal reporting on the impact on the town. What do you hope the impact is on Washington Irving?
Well, you know, Irving's one of these guys that, again, I said when I was writing the biography that his bust had sort of fallen off the mantle. Irving's books are really fun. And what really surprised me when I started researching him, and one of the things that really got me interested in him, is he's very funny. He's got a lot of asides to the reader, and he does these very clever things where he does a lot of citations to make you think that things are real, and he's making it all up the entire time. So Irving's very clever. He's sort of one of our first viral marketers as well. You know, one of his first books, he took out fake ads in the newspapers in New York and said there was a missing historian, Diedrich Knickerbocker, who actually is allegedly telling you the tale of the Legend of Sleepy Hollow as well.
So actually, Washington Irving might be perfectly happy with what's happening to his story now.
Yeah, you know, I think he would. Irving was sort of a notorious and famous knicker of other tales. Legend of Sleepy Hollow is built on the backs of, you know, German folk tales and Dutch stories, and a story Irving heard when he was traveling through Europe and was riding out a rainstorm with a bunch of fellow tourists, and a woman told a story about a headless horseman that used to scare her and her sister. And so Irving is the kind that could sort of take all these and compress them and put it all together and make you think that that story has always been there. Because when he tells you the Legend of Sleepy Hollow, he tells you this is an old story, and he's, you know, he's making it all up right there. And so I think Irving would love to see what people are doing with his work. I think you'd get a kick out of a lot of this kind of stuff.
Brian J. Jones, author of Washington Irving, an American Original. Thanks so much.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
He's out looking for a head to swap, so don't try to figure out a plan. You can't reason with a headless man.
So, from Disney's take on Ichabod Crane to the Fox TV show Sleepy Hollow, on tonight, check local listings. And of course, as we just heard, you can always read the book. From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.